Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there. Should be sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well, and I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at? No, really, he was there. He must have muted himself. Dan, did you mute yourself? Let's try our magical trick here. I will put Dan on hold for about 5 seconds, and then we will try to bring Dan back in and see if that works. Dan, did that bring you back?
With three E's.
There you go. All right. So, all right. Well, you know, Dan, I got to know right off the bat, how you feeling as a Cubs today?
I laughed because I did see a meme or whatever you want to call it that said that Jed's finally getting repaid back for the Rizzo trade, which... I found pretty comical. It's funny how things do circle back, isn't it? So it's an interesting perspective that they threw out there. I saw a good one from, I think there's on Facebook, I don't like to promote groups or pages, but they have a Cubs memes. So if you're a Cubs fan or just a fan of baseball, Big Jack, you check it out. But, you know, someone posted one thing, but, you know, I never really truly read all the comments. There'll be one that's, like, focused on for a second or for whatever reason, and I, you know, kind of scroll, and I read that one. And, you know, the one guy just said, like, I don't know why, but I'm just really not that upset. And I, you know, I jokingly made the comment, well, it's because we're numb to it, you know. Or the other guy said, you know, the same people that are pissed off about the Cubs trading you are probably the same people who are pissed off that he wasn't traded last year. So, you know, there's, I guess I gave you a couple perspectives on what's kind of going on out there and like the reactions, but I mean, I feel the same way too. I'm pretty numb to it. You know, obviously he's trying to pull a Rick Hahn on this. So four minor league prospects, and a former Brewer.
Yeah. Yeah, they're still waiting for the medicals to come through, but as long as everything checks out, we'll see Yu Darvish and Victor Caratini go to San Diego. In return, the Cubs will get right-handed pitcher Zach Davies. They're getting two shortstops in the deal, Reginald Perciado and Yelson Santana, and then two outfielders, Owen Cassie and Ismael Mina. And the guys they're getting in return, I don't even know if you can call them guys. I mean, Dan, we're talking about kids. We got a 17-year-old, an 18-year-old, or actually a 17-year-old, two 18-year-olds, and a 20-year-old. So they're, you know, I mean, the Cubs are getting players back that we're not going to see for
ever.
Year.
Are these all Dominican kids? Because I know San Diego has like a
yes,
thing down in the DR.
Yeah, three of the four are. The only one who's not is Cassie. He's actually, humorously, he's Canadian born. So.
Yeah, and, you know, and just so no one's thinking I'm putting some racism out there, it's San Diego has like a, I forget what you call it, a complex?
Yeah, they, you know, I'm sure it's just
training
a base.
Complex?
They probably just call it a baseball, baseball academy now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, something. So, you know, it is down there. I know they set that up years ago. So it's kind of interesting to finally, you know, hear some names coming out of it. You know, the signing considered by a lot of Cubs fans to be a bust. So, I don't know. The Cubs win because they don't have to shell out the rest of the contract. The front office, but
you know,
in the end, don't make a right. I was gonna say two wrongs don't make a right. So this kind of puts them in the hole, if you ask me. You know, if you're kind of going by move by move, if you consider it a bad move to sign him, but then you trade him away on a bad move, it's like a double loss to me. I don't really see turning out well for the Cubs.
Yeah, the thing that concerns me is, you know, while they got four prospects, they got 15, 17, 18, and 20. You know, San Diego didn't even have to give up anybody in their top 10 to get a legitimate major league starting pitcher. And then, you know, for some reason they keep calling Caratini Darvish's personal catcher. Caratini can legitimately be a number one catcher on your team. You know, you're getting a guy who's a switch hitter, and, you know, the next person who says, well, you know, he had a down 2020. Yeah, he hit .241. Yeah, Christian Yelich hit about .180 or something. So shut up to me about what players did in 2020 because I'm tired of it. So Caratini should have a chance to be the Padres' full-time starter. And I did notice in one of the other deals the Padres made, they dealt a catcher. So they were making room for Caratini. They fully expect this deal to go through.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting, you know, what San Diego got here for really – Not a lot. Yeah, and again, anytime stuff like this happens, I immediately think back to what you said starting years ago about how the Ricketts have kind of overspent, and now they're looking to recoup some of that money. And, you know, this looks like a plan. I know the Cubs are going to be on the hook for a portion of Darvish's salary, but we don't quite know how much yet. But he's got 3 years left, you know, and I'm guessing, let me see if I can get his salary totals here real quick, if my internet will keep up with me. Yeah, he's due to make $22 million this year, then it goes to $19 and $18 million. So that's, what, $59 million left. I don't know how much of that the Cubs are picking up. I'm guessing not much because they didn't get a ton in return. So it definitely, I mean, it looks like a salary dump when you come right down to it, doesn't it?
Pretty much. So then you open up some money to spend, but you're going to spend it on the same thing and just get more. You know what I mean? So quality versus quantity. So, but,
you know, and, you know, to be fair, you know, Zach Davies is a solid middle of the rotation starter. If you remember, he had a breakout year with Milwaukee in 2017. He went 17-9 with a 390 ERA, but then he got hurt the next year. He did bounce back and make 31 starts in 2019, and he made 12 last year. He was good for the Padres, 7-4 with a 273 ERA. So obviously he'll go right into the Cubs rotation, but he's, well, as long as they don't trade him, but you know, he's not Yu Darvish. So.
No. And now you're going with a guy who's potentially a number three coming in, rolling in as your potential number one. Cause who else?
Well, you figure Kyle Hendricks is number one now, right?
Oh yeah. Kyle Hendricks. I keep forgetting that he's so quiet.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just, you know, I mean, to me, this just screams we're going to go through another rebuild again with every other team in Major League Baseball, because basically every other team except the really good ones are going through a rebuild at this point in time. And you can add the Cubs, who are a big market, big money team, to the list. And Dan, I think you and I both know there's no need for this, right?
Yeah, there's definitely no need for this at all. A team that owns their own network does not rebuild.
No.
I mean, how are you going to, with this, with the way I see things going, you can't persuade me to go back to getting cable just so I can get the marquee network.
No, why do you want to watch these games again? I mean, we went through this, what was it, 5, 6, 7 years ago? When did Theo start his rebuild?
Yeah.
Or 9 years ago he was here?
Yeah.
Why do we want to watch a 100 lost team?
Oh, you know, I mean, every fifth day you get excited because you're going to see Kyle Hendricks. But then in the sixth inning when he's out, you turn the game off because you kind of figure Craig Kimbrell's just going to blow it at the end anyways.
You
can watch all the pitching prospects that came up. Oh, wait, look at the entire list, because Dwayne Underwood Jr. is the only one they developed.
There's no pitching prospects on that team. I think we all know that. But I guess my question for you here, Dan, is who's next? You know, because it doesn't make sense to hold on to any of these other guys now that you don't have anybody who can pitch.
Brian has to be next.
So, you know, I mean, do we see them cut as deep as to make a Javi Baez, you know, or even an Anthony Rizzo? You know, Rizzo is in the last year of his deal. I'm trying to think, is Baez? I think Baez may be in the last year of arbitration. Yeah. So, I mean, is it possible we see one of those guys go?
I don't think we see Javi go. I think you lose a big portion of your fan base if Javi goes.
What about Rizzo, though?
Yeah, but was he as popular? Is he as popular without Bryant in the Brizzo?
That's a good question.
You know, and I'm not knocking him. I'm not going to say anything bad about him, but he's on the more quiet side. He kind of, you know what I mean? He's a little bit more in the background. Chris Bryant was a little bit more the showman, and I think that makes a difference. So I it would be nice to keep Rizzo around. I mean, you've got a solid first baseman. He can play, but he's not a kid anymore. You know,
no.
He came to the Cubs in 2010, was it? And he's fortunate that he doesn't have, from what you know, what I've seen, any serious back injuries, but he's had a nagging back thing over the last 5 seasons. So he came. No, he came to the Cubs in 2012. So 2011. Oh, that was the joke. The trade from Boston to San Diego, from San Diego to the Cubs. He's put up a solid career with the Cubs. It's essentially he spent his career here. He did do the 49 games in San Diego where he only hit a home run. I just had to throw that in because, one home run. And he's caught stealing ones. So there he's one for one with one intentional walk and one triple. That was my stupidness. But, you figure he had 8 great seasons with the Cubs. You've got one left with him. If you can move him and get some money, you might as well because, I mean, let's be honest. If Anthony Rizzo, I wish MLB was had everything. Is his contract up this year or next year?
Yeah, he's got 1 year left on it. 2021 is it for Rizzo. Then he's a free agent.
Oh, I mean, Anthony Rizzo's going on the market. If he stays with the Cubs, he's going on the market. He, I don't think the Cubs would pay him enough, and especially to kind of make a backtrack compensation for, if the Cubs were to re-sign Anthony Rizzo, it would have to be for a lot of money. And a lot of the money wouldn't be justified towards the tail end of his career with the Cubs because who knows the longevity at his age now. But at the same time, he kind of got a little stiffed on the contract for them. I hate when people come out and say that they hold a grudge or, things like that. I personally do not believe that Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant are going to hold any sort of grudge against the Cubs, especially now that Theo's gone. Because, the situation they're in is essentially based on him. But at the end of the day, it's a business. And I think both of these men understand that. And both of these men are going to be wise enough to seek other options. And, if you got to worry about yourself. Fortunately for both of them, they got the ring in Chicago. I'm sure they'd both love to get another ring. But at the same time, now you've got your ring. Now you got to think about yourself, your family, setting up for, your legacy and whatnot. And I don't think it's going to end in Chicago, unfortunately. So I think
No,
best time would be to move Rizzo now.
I guess the other question, the one thing the Cubs seem to have, and it's kind of interesting, is catching prospects. Is it possible we could see Wilson Contreras moved? He's still got a couple years of control left. There could be a lot of value there. I mean, we're talking about a number one catcher. He's just going to be 29. There's a lot of teams that could use a catcher like Contreras. Is it
Yeah.
possible we see them move to try to start the restock, the rebuild?
So what I'm hoping is that this is just a quick tying up of loose ends, so to speak, and that it will not be a full rebuild almost. And I wouldn't say like the old Kenny Williams rebuild it on the fly, sign 5 guys for too much money and then trade them all away in 2 years. Obviously, as a Cub fan, I'm hoping that isn't the case and that, the Yu Darvish thing is a gamble either way. Yes, he's getting better, but, who knows 5 starts into the season what can happen to that guy. So I think they're getting out from underneath something. But I think if you want to be able to rebuild or, go that route, you kind of have to maintain Contreras because you're still looking at an everyday catcher. While his batting average for you and I is not where we'd like to see it, I think it could be higher. The talent that he has behind the plate, I think, will always overshadow that. And, he's one of the key pieces that the Cubs would need to maintain a rebuild.
Yeah, I was just kind of thinking that there's a lot of value there, with that position and with that kind
There
of
is.
player. So,
But I mean, are they going to get to that point where they want to deplete all their assets? I mean, truly go down to zero? I mean, you know, poor Rizzo. I would say I wouldn't even want to be here if that's your plan, because I already went through that.
You're not going to be able to get rid of Jason Hayward, because nobody's going to take the remainder of that contract. So he'll always be here.
Yeah. So I mean, you've got two guys solely, you know, one guy solely based on defense, and Steele made one wrong move. He made one wrong move, and I don't know. That, you know, it's so hard because I'm never going to get off the Jimenez should have never been traded. You know, but then again, yeah. would Rick Hahn have taken Kyle Schwarber?
Yeah, probably not. Not in the position the Sox were in. So.
You know, so I mean, it's I don't know. It's one of those where I think, you know, it made sense, the pickup, but at the same time, the fact that Eli had to go. That one I just didn't agree with wholly. Oh, but we have this guy. Yeah, but you have a guy that, and I can disagree with it because I haven't been on the Schwarber playing left field bandwagon since they started it, you know? So it's like I'm always going to disagree with that because he shouldn't have no business being out there full time. Then when you take a guy who has no business being out there full time and he can't hit against lefties and now you're taking him out for, you know, that portion of the game, now you've completely diminished his value so far so that when it comes time to make a big move, you can't make a big move and all you got to do is let him walk.
Yeah, well, you know, and to be fair, like, I don't think the Darvish signing was bad.
No, he had that injury the first year.
And, like, his second year, he had solid numbers. He just didn't manage to pick up any wins. Obviously, last year he was fantastic. He was the reason they won the frickin' division. You know, without him, they're probably not even a playoff team. So it wasn't a bad signing. You do always wonder at the end of these deals. I mean, he'll be 36 by the end of the deal, so you do wonder what's going to be there when it's all said and done. But yeah, I wouldn't call it a bust as a signing. I think. You know, in reality, I think Hayward has been a worse signing than the Darvish one.
Yeah.
When you look at the, you know, the formalities of it, and a lot of that is only because Hayward ended up with like 8 years on his deal, and that was just crazy.
Yeah, so, but that's what was being thrown around at the time.
Yeah,
so.
Well, you know, and that's what Darvish, if the Cubs wouldn't have given Darvish that contract, somebody else would have. So it's not like they overpaid for him or anything. He got what was his fair market value. But all right, well, I want to stick with the Padres here, Dan, because while we wait for the medical to come through on that deal, they do have another huge deal that is official. They picked up Blake Snell. You know, there were a lot of reports that Tampa Bay was interested in moving Snell. Well, they did move him. In return, Tampa Bay got Luis Patino, who I believe was the Padres' number one pitching prospect. Francisco Mejia was the catcher I mentioned earlier. He's a major league catcher. They got prospects Blake Hunt and Cole Wilcox. So it looks like the Padres gave up a lot more for Snell than they did for Darvish. But I guess that makes sense. Snell is a Cy Young Award winner, and, you know, he's that guy, even though for some reason his manager took him out in the fifth inning of a World Series when he was rolling along and they ended up losing it, but that's what happens. So.
Yeah, that's why they don't deserve to have Blake Snell.
No, well, you know, and the other thing is, like, I'm wondering if you're a Tampa, you know, if you're a Tampa Bay Rays fan, you're probably wondering the same thing that Cub fans are wondering right now is, what the hell are they doing? So,
isn't that a normalcy every other year for Tampa fans? That's why only 1,300 show up to a game.
Well, honestly, I don't think it would matter who was where, and they still wouldn't show up to the game. But, yeah, it's kind of a strange scenario there. You know, like they signed Michael Wacha. I thought, oh, okay, he can go in as the 3 or 4 starter. And, you know, Tampa has success with guys like that. Maybe he'll get straightened out. And, you know, then all of a sudden, well, we're going to deal Blake Snell. Oh, okay, you're going to – okay, you know, and it's like, great. You know, and I, you know, they did get Blake Hunt is actually a catcher. He slides right in as the Tampa Bay's 10th prospect. Driscoll plays the outfield as well. He makes their top 50. I'm looking for this pitcher is what I want to see here. Where is he? Here he is. Patina comes in immediately as the Rays' number 2 prospect. So it wouldn't be a surprise to see him pop up here or there, you know, depending on how injuries go for them. But, yeah, it looks like they got good value in return for Snell. But I got to tell you, Dan, I'm hugely impressed with what the Padres are doing. You like this Snell trade?
I like it. I mean, I think it's a big move for a team that's kind of been – made a big splash a couple years ago, but hasn't really. They made a big splash with signings. And, you know, that's one thing you hope for San Diego is that it's just not another splash of signings or, you know, obviously transactions, that we actually get some production on the field and, you know, and all that good stuff. Because, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, the media, the fan, you know, the general consensus was that we were going to see a San Diego. I almost said Super Bowl and Survivor Series, World Series last year. And anyone watches the game, like the people who cover the sport, you would think they would know something about the game instead of just hyping everybody up, is that one man does not win a World Series, a championship. It's not the NBA. You know, and even there, it doesn't really work. But otherwise, the Angels should have at least 5 World Series rings, minimum, if one man could win a World Series. So, you know, now they're making the moves. They've got, I mean, you've got 2 number ones, so who do you kind of go with? Obviously, I think you'd probably go with Blake and then you. But, I mean, the biggest thing that you and I have talked about is pitching. They haven't addressed their pitching, and they're finally addressing it. So, you've got 2 solid starters. If you can kind of back me up on who else left in the rotation.
Well, you know, they have Denelson Lamet, who had a really good year last year. You know, unfortunately, Mike Clevinger will miss the whole year recovering from Tommy John. But they got Chris Paddock, who had a down year last year, but 2 years ago was really good for them. And then the 5th starter spot is, you know, up for grabs. They have some – it looks like some of their prospects are going to compete, but it wouldn't be surprised to see, like, Mackenzie Gore or Adrian – I believe it's pronounced Morjon – could get that slot. So they have some guys who are, you know, who are going to go. Joey Lucchesi has some major league experience. So it's going to be interesting. You know, Gore may have the upper hand. He's their number one rated prospect now. And, you know, he's only going to be 22, so he's probably got the first peek at it. But he hasn't pitched above double A, so they may want him to start at triple A as long as there's a minor league season. But, yeah, I mean, they've got – it's weird that they made these 2 trades. They dealt 8 or 7, I think it ended up being 6 or 7 minor leaguers, and they've still got a fantastic farm system. So, they, you know, it's odd how they were able to stock their farm system so well. You know, and the odd thing, Dan, is, you know, they're not done. You know, one of their weaknesses was second base, so they signed the top Korean free agent,
Han
So Kim. who last year hit 306 with 30 home runs and 109 RBIs to go along with 23 stolen bases in 138 games in the Korean League. So, you know, they addressed pretty much all their needs. You know, they needed another starter with Clevinger hurt. They got two of them. That, you know, they needed a second baseman. They, you know, they've got that now. So you just got to wonder, I guess the big question may be closer, because Kirby Yates is a free agent. But there are still plenty of guys out there that they can bring in if they want to take a look at them, or if they want to trade for them, or maybe they'll bring Yates back. Who knows? But, yeah, I mean, they've managed to shape themselves into a contender with a couple moves here. It will be, it will be quite interesting to see how they end up shaking things out, or how the team does. I don't know, you know, like, I'm not going to say they're ready to compete with the Dodgers, but, you know, if you were to tell me that the National League Championship Series is Dodger Padres, I might believe you right now.
Yeah, I would definitely buy it.
So, you know, it's just kind of odd that, you know, they were able to, you know, to do this. So, and then humorously, Dan, the Rays were not done either making deals. They sent left-handed pitcher Jose Alvarado to the Phillies. All right, now this is a three-team trade is how it works out. So we got Jose Alvarado goes from Tampa Bay to Philadelphia, minor league first baseman Dylan Paulson, a player to be named later, or the cash considerations go to the Dodgers, and then the Phillies sent Garrett Clevinger as part of the deal as well. He also goes to the Dodgers. So it's interesting that the Dodgers get two, possibly three players out of this. The Phillies get a reliever, and in reality, Tampa Bay gets nothing. The Dodgers sent the first baseman to Tampa Bay. That's why I read it wrong the first time. I had to go back and look. But, you know, again, the Phillies in desperate need of bullpen help. You know, we know how bad that bullpen was. They're picking up a guy who, you know, when he's healthy, can really get left-handers out. Now, he wasn't very healthy last year. He only pitched in 9 games. His ERA was 6. But let me see, did he pitch in the playoffs? Was he healthy then? He made 2 appearances against Houston. He pitched 1 2/3 innings, gave up 1 hit and no runs. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, injuries kind of slowed him down last year, but, you know, he's a solid left-handed reliever, and, you know, that's what teams are looking at. And, you know, with the way the Philadelphia bullpen has gone, they're probably happy just to have another live arm in it with the trouble they've had. So, but this, you know, this sounds like a pretty good trade for Philadelphia. You like this deal? I mean, it doesn't seem like anybody gave up a lot except for Tampa giving up the only major leaguer.
Yeah, I think it's a good deal. I mean, another team, you know, I mean, I think we could say that for a lot of teams, though. Need to shore up the bullpen.
Yeah, you could actually say that about every team if you really wanted to. You could say, yeah, they need bullpen help, because they just honestly do. Every team needs some sort of bullpen help somewhere along the line. So it's not that You know, not that big of, you know, that'll be the thing where, you know, all of a sudden all the relievers will start flying off the market because all anybody's pretty much done now is sign, kind of journeyman relievers, with the exception the Twins today did sign Hansel Robles. He was actually supposed to be the Angels closer last year, and he was just terrible. So Minnesota's going to bring him in and try to fix him. Here you go, Dan. Robles was supposed to be their closer. Now, in 2019, he had a really good year. He appeared in 71 games. He was 5-1 with a 2.48 ERA and had 23 saves. Last year, he appeared in 18 games, 16 2/3 innings, only had one save. He was 0-2, and his ERA was 10.26. So it just didn't really transfer over. So we'll have to see if the Twins can work it out, and hopefully he gets kind of back and can help their bullpen. So, but I don't think they're gonna expect him to close. I thought they had somebody else. I want to check real quick and see where they slotted him in, but that seems like a decent risk of a signing, doesn't it? There. Oh, you faded out on me. What happened to your connection there?
Oh, my mic was turned up.
Ah, there we go.
So you gotta make the move.
Yeah. Well, you know, at least we had some kind of baseball stuff to talk about. I mean, basically it all centered around the Padres, but when are we going to get to see some action here, Dan? You know, I mean, we're coming into the new year. You know, we got all these big time free agents out there. We've got, you know, the Chris Bryant possible trades, the Francisco Lindor possible trades. The Reds want to trade anybody who can pitch. When are we going to start to get some action here? I mean, you know, training camp is still scheduled to open in February.
What do you mean by action? Just more movement, or?
I don't, you know, maybe a free agent signing? Can we get a big-time free agent signing somewhere? You know, a George Springer, a J.C. Realmuto, anybody?
I don't know. I think everyone's still fearful of the COVID, and they don't know what they're going to do, and I think they're all just relying on the stimulus check, because, you know, like Rickett said.
Oh.
No. Rickett said, you know, they can't sign the players they want with a $600 check.
Sign them with a $2,000 check either, so that's not gonna help them out very much.
I think he was just trying Twitter for the first time. So I mean, you know, who knows? There's, I think, just several different factors out there, and obviously, I think one of the biggest ones is the COVID thing.
Oh, well, here you go, Dan. I hate to jump back into this, but this story was just posted 15 minutes ago. The Cubs are extensively shopping. Drum roll. Do we have a drum roll? We don't have a drum roll. Wilson Contreras is being reported,
oh, wow.
Dan.
So now you're telling me he's selling, what do we call it? We're selling the farm.
Oh. Selling the farm. Yep. That's what it may look like, because my guess is the Cubs aren't going to jump into the JT Realmuto Derby and try to sign him.
No. So, I mean, my question for you, Big Jack, I have at minimum a Cubs hat for every day of the month, not the year yet. And I'm not kidding. I think I have at least 2 months worth. It's not very big collection, you know, whatever you want to call it, waste of money. Do I just, you know, because I was like, oh, it's the NBA season, the NFL, I was gonna start putting all my my baseball hats away. Do I just store the Cubs hats for 5 years or something? Is that how I should do it?
It might not be a bad idea to just put them away for a little while. It doesn't look like they say who. Oh, here you go. And no surprise, Dan. There are apparently 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams in the market for Contreras.
I mean, there should be 28 teams in the market for Contreras,
Well,
to be honest.
some teams do have their catcher. They know what they know what they have, and they're all set there. But
Yeah, but
yeah, it's kind of interesting. And one of the teams is the Cardinals. Could you imagine if the Cardinals took Contreras to replace Yadi?
I mean, there's some things that do, and I think that's one of them. You can let Fowler go there, but you let Wilson Contreras go to St. Louis, and I think you might actually lose some fans.
Well, and the humorous thing, if that did happen, the Cubs would probably have to try to sign Yadi for a year or two to bridge the gap until they could
Yeah.
get to their best pitching prospect, who's he hasn't played above
Oh.
A ball. He's still a couple years away. So,
Yeah, but is he really a catcher or is he a left fielder?
no,
You never
he's a
know.
catcher. According to this article, he's a catcher. So. But yeah, it's just kind of, I got to tell you, Dan, I'm just frightened with what the Cubs are doing here. I mean, again, we're talking about a big market team that acts like a small market one. And I don't get it. And the only thing you can look at is the rickets of overspending, right? I mean, there's not another reason for this.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the pandemic, put a big halt on a lot of the revenue they should be generating from Wrigleyville. The aldermen don't get to line their pockets anymore, right? Or the aldermen, with anything. So, I think that's part of the fact that they've overspent, but at the same time. I don't think managing the contracts correctly, the way they brought everybody, managing contracts, and I don't know how to put this in a better way, Big Jack, but it's kind of like when you and I used to be in the wrestling world. You're this guy, I'm that guy. I do these moves, you do those moves. You and I are going to tag up against these two new guys who think they know everything. And we've got about 10 to 15 to go, but we're only 4.5 minutes into the match, and these two have gone through all their moves and they don't know what to do. As you and I would say, they call it blowing their load way too soon. And I think that was part of the developmental issue with the way the Cubs conducted themselves and, moving players up. Because if you remember, the one of the first players, one of the youngest players to come up and to do anything was with the Cubs, and that was Starlin Castro. Of course, over the last couple of years, some younger kids have come up. The kid from, Washington, they've done some stuff. But for a while, the Cubs were the one with Starlin. This young, flashy superstar, kind of who could have been. And I think that caught on too much, and I think Theo liked that. I think Theo liked having all the young guys around. I'm not going to say it's because of this, but young, impressionable minds, Big Jack. You sell them something really good, but it may not turn out to be what you were actually selling them. And trying to push these kids through the system, in 2 years, I think was a big disservice to the players and to the team, and that's what we're dealing with right now. There's no reason why your 14, 15, 16 draft picks should be up at the same time in 15, 16, and 17. Especially when they're not, when they're proving that they don't belong at the major league level. I mean, I'll beat this horse to death, but, well, he's already dead. But Javi, that one year, he shouldn't have been up. Yeah, you gave him his time. He should have gone down and stayed down. You know, but they decided not to, and, you know, it's going to hurt his WAR in the future and his records. You know, who cares about that? But they were too quick to push these kids into what they, you know, it's not the NBA.
Yeah, unfortunately, it, you know, if you're a Cub fan, you're looking at some down years
down,
coming up.
Yes.
Well.
Yeah, and, you know, the best part about it, the Cubs put themselves in a position where they're, like you said, on the downside, and it's just going to start a war in Chicago because the White Sox seem to be on the exact opposite train. And, oh boy, my White Sox fans gonna friends going to have so much fun. I mean, you know it's true, but Jack, you already know.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, you know, and you can't blame them. So.
No.
You know, just kind of how that works out. But, you know, while we were covering all this and, you know, everything's going on, you know, Dan, do you see the Dodgers making some type of corresponding move to try to offset what the Padres are doing here, be it a signing or a trade?
No, it's been all Padres. I haven't heard anything about anybody else.
So yeah, you don't see the Dodgers trying to.
Oh, I thought you said they did.
No, you know, possibly, you know, making something happen. You know, where they sign. You know, they go after a free agent or they make a trade. Because obviously, you know, the Dodgers and the Padres have the best two farm systems. So.
Yeah. Well, in your mind, who would be up on deck? You know, what would they be looking for? Has the Justin Turner thing been finalized? Is he coming back to L.A.? Is he traveling?
You know, that's the question, is who's the third baseman right now?
Yeah.
So, you know, that could be the big move. I mean, could they go get a Chris Bryant?
Oh, I think they could in a heartbeat. You know, will it happen? I don't know. Would we then see Bryce want out of Philly and want to go play in L.A.? That would be fun. Go up against Mike Trout finally. You know, I mean, like you said, anything's possible. I think you're right, though. I think the Dodgers do want to make a counter move. You know, one of the moves that they should be looking at, too, is the bullpen, don't you think? You know, with Kenley Jansen kind of being a little Carlos Marmoli. I couldn't think of anybody else. you know, with that situation they have there, do you think they start looking for another closer? You know, who would they go for? They're obviously not coming here for it.
No, well, you know, I mean, there are guys on the market that they could sign. You know, there's two former Padres actually now. You could get Brad Hand or Kirby Yates. But yeah, you know, looking at the Dodgers everyday lineup, you know, third base seems to be the big hole right now. The projected starter would be Edwin Rios. So I don't know if they would go that route. Now, you know, they do have Chris Taylor plugged in to start at second, but remember they have Gavin Lux, who's a big time prospect. It should probably be his job. You know, it's also quite possible that, you know, they add a starter and let Julio Urias close after the success he had in the postseason last year. You know, I mean, he really showed he could get the job done. So, you know, that's always a possibility. But I really think their main focus would be third base if they were looking to add a guy.
Well, and who would you be looking for? I mean, obviously, the easy one is Bryant. I don't think there's any chance in hell, you know, Anaheim's letting go of Rendon. So,
no, you know, you do, you know, again, obviously, we don't know who all would be willing to, you know, deal their guys here or there. So, you know, that could be questionable. But, you know, and I'm trying to think. I there's really no big-name third baseman on the market. I guess in reality they could sign DJ LeMahieu and he could play there.
Well, and he's another one that a lot of Yankee fans will be a little upset if he's not returning in the stripes next year.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, blame him. He's been fantastic there. So,
you know, and obviously, you know, the fans are a portion of the decision. They're not, I don't think, factored in at 50%. But do you think, the Yankees would pursue him to keep him on the team?
We know they're
over the budget.
All the rumors are that they want to, but apparently there's a big gap in between what LeMahieu wants and what the Yankees have offered.
Oh, so, I can imagine.
You know, you just got to kind of, you're kind of like, well, like, okay. Hello.
He's so, Rodney Dangerfield of MLB.
But yeah, the one thing with the Dodgers, with the prospects they have, there's really no stopping them from going out and getting anybody. You do wonder if maybe, you know, they would look at the Nationals and maybe see if they could get Carter Kieboom. You know, he seemed to be a failed prospect with Washington, but you wonder if a change of scenery and going to a team like the Dodgers could make the difference and, you know, kind of get him back on track.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's a lot of questions on, you know, who or what they could get. But like I said, really, in reality, they could get anybody they want. So, and then, you know, locally here, Dan, the other big story, I don't know if you saw this one, but the Blackhawks lost not only one, but two top players. Jonathan Toews they didn't say what illness he had, so I don't know if it's COVID-related or anything, but he will not be reporting to training camp, and it looks like he's going to miss the start of the season. And then Kirby Duck, or Doc, I think it might be pronounced, he broke his wrist playing for the Canadian junior team in the world, and he's looking at missing 3 to 4 months of action.
Oh, wow.
So right away, the Blackhawks, who were a team that, you know, they were borderline sneaking into the playoffs again this year, are going to start off in a gigantic hole. And, you know, we'll have to see if they can make it up. But, you know, we have our draft in just a couple weeks.
Oh, that's
so,
right.
Not this Saturday, but next Saturday. Draft.
Oh, my wife's going to be so happy.
Yes, but she loves our draft, doesn't she?
Yeah, I mean, I don't get it. I mean, we've been in the house together since March. Like, oh, you're doing a draft? Like, what were we going to do? Did we have a date? Were we going to go to the movies? No. Go out to dinner? No. Go to the mall? No. You know, so I'm like, well, I thought we were just going to spend time. Sorry, I don't mean to. Come on. We're together all day, every day. But, you know, the cool thing with my daughter being older now is I go down to my lab, my computer for the draft. I got my three monitors, Big Jack. I get to check on stuff. I get to see the full list now. And then my daughter either sits on the other side and watches TV, or now her playroom is down there by me. So she's got all her stuff down there. So next year there will be no complaints because my wife will just be sitting up here with a baby. Obviously.
Yeah, there you go.
So let's do all the drafts we can do. But no, it'll be interesting. I was pleasantly surprised, and I know it's you know, really figuring out the settings. It's definitely taken, we've been doing this now for 7 years, which kind of kills me, like, damn, you know, with the auctions. And I don't think it took but a couple years, but I mean, you know, for you to kind of figure out how the auction style works. But man, it was pretty nice when we did the NBA one a week or two ago, and I think I was out by 3 hours, you know.
Yeah.
So compared to our first baseball, that was like 6-8 hours. I don't remember what it was.
I think it was 6 hours that baseball draft went. That's almost as bad as my Money League stuff. While we're on fantasy game, a couple things. I can tell you that I have made it to the Auction League Football Championships.
Oh, I want to talk
so
to you.
It obviously helped that I had Alvin Kamara last week, and he only scored 6 touchdowns. So, yeah, I am battling Hooked on a Feeling is the team I am up against this week. So we'll see how that goes. And then you'll get a kick out of this one, Dan. I had been doing on the Mickey Mouse Network, I was playing their Eliminator Challenge,
mm-hmm.
and I had made a correct pick every week until last week. So I went 16 weeks before I lost the game, and it was the Houston Texans who cost me. They got beat by the Cincinnati Bengals last week. So I almost made the entire season perfect, and the Texans cost
me.
I will never forgive them for that. So
yeah. Well, I forgot what the year was when the Yahoo won. It's probably, I didn't get into it this year. I don't know why. But I picked who I thought was the most obvious pick in like week two or three. You know, they should have won. And of course they lost.
Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, that happened quite a bit. You know, like I know, lucky enough, I didn't have Kansas City the week they lost, but a lot of guys got eliminated that week. So, and yeah, but yeah, so the best I've ever done. Normally I'm out by week 5 or 6. So I was pretty happy that I rolled along. But yeah, I would very much like to win the Austin League. The thing I'm worried about is I lost to this team in the season. So I'm going to have to turn that around and get some big performances.
Oh, yeah. I really wanted to beat him in this season only because I had Adam Thielen on my team.
So, yeah, we will see how that goes. But hopefully, you know, next week when we get together to start the new year, we can talk about my fantasy football championship.
Oh. I lost again, so I'm not talking to you.
Thank you for being on the podcast. You can listen to anytime you want.